Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
It's the Hockey Show, presented by Four Winds Casino on ESPN 1000. Mike Side with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. We have not been together the last couple weeks. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I'll say fine.
It's up and down with this team, with me. You know, the Winter Classic left a bad taste in my mouth, but then I went to the game against the Canadians. That was much better. The crowd was great. It felt kind of like old times. And then, you know, they look all right tonight so far. So kind of my emotions ebb and flow as the team does. So I'm down a lot.
I was really down Sunday after the Ranger game.
Yeah.
Look, the Winter Classic was an amazing event, except for the freaking game.
Except for the main event.
Except for the reason they were there.
Yeah.
And it was really unfortunate.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe on that stage they stumbled like that or, you know, didn't show up.
Yeah.
So I was cool with Kyle going in there and letting them have it, and we heard them all respond. And they go out, and I thought played a nice physical game against a red-hot Montreal team that has knocked off the last four Stanley Cup champions, wedged into that loss to the Blackhawks. And I'm like, all right, now you're getting a Ranger team that is team dysfunction, that has lost 16-21, starting a goalie for the first time since November of 2023. They played the day before, and you absolutely lay down in the second and the third period with no energy, no bite to your game, and you get run out of the rink yet again. They have now lost 6 of 7 heading into tonight's game, and 4 of their last 5 games have been blowouts where they've been beat by 4 or more goals. I mean, it's
dark times.
Yeah.
It's dark, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, because while the team is not good, the trade deadline is rapidly approaching. You would think that some of these guys, Hall, maybe Alec Martinez, maybe someone takes a flyer on Pat Maroon for some little playoff toughness and locker room presence, things like that. And so if you have, you know, 20 NHL guys who are good enough for basically dead last, well, you're about to get worse. And it's I'm tired of saying it. I'm tired of watching it. I'm tired of saying it. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I am as down about this organization as I've ever been.
Well, let me just say this to you. As you look at the rebuild and where they are at, I look at year 2.5 to 3 into the rebuild. Are they really that far off from where you thought they would be?
Well,
I mean, did you take Kyle's, I want to see us climb up the standings? You were still in the thought that they were going to finish 5th worst to 8th worst, right? Not make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I thought they would be drafting in that 7 to 10 range.
Okay.
But it's more like, it's how they lose. Like that, you know.
Okay. The first 30 games of the season under Luke Richardson, they were in all but one.
Yeah, and it was ugly.
It was not attractive hockey. Nothing to show for it.
Correct.
They've scored first in 25. Tonight, I think, is their 41st game.
Yeah.
They didn't score first tonight. They've scored first in 25 of 41 games, and they've got 13 wins to show for it. In a league where you tend to win 70-ish percent of the time when you score first.
Right.
They were in all but one game under Luke, so in comes Anders Sorensen, and they change the forecheck. They try to create more offense, and they do.
They call up some more young guys.
Call up Nazar, Doc.
Yep.
I think
Korchinski had a minute up, you know.
Right. I think Landon Slaggart, I think, will be next.
Okay.
And, but they're getting, I mean, absolutely crushed.
Yeah. And it's like you said, the Winter Classic and the Ranger game. Like, now, full disclosure, I was driving back from Lambeau Field, so I didn't see a ton of the Ranger game. But, you know, you watch the highlights. I watched like a recording of it, but one eye on it kind of thing. It's just like, God, like this team. Like, how do you. And I was happy. I decided to go to the Canadiens game. It's the first game I had been to in a while. I'm like, hey, that's much better. And the building was full, and it was rocking, and it was like, this is the Blackhawks I want to see over and over and over again. And Montreal is not a great team, and they didn't look like it. And the Hawks took advantage of a Friday night home game, and it was great. And then it's like they just can't string games together back to back, and it's so frustrating. And to me, it is like the culture. Like if you're gonna, I've said all along, I don't care if you win the game or not. Compete,
right?
Your
it's
butt
how
off.
You it's how you play, yes. Right? And then like tonight, and it kind of follows the script for the season against really good teams. Yep. Montreal the other night, as far as I'm talking, hot. They
yeah.
came in
they're playing well,
you know. And Colorado's won 7 of 8.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're starting a goalie who's making his first NHL start.
Yeah.
But this is one of the better teams in the league. And
yeah,
they lead them 2-1 with 3 minutes to go, and they're on the man advantage in the second period.
Let's see how it goes.
Yes, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
Trust me, I've seen this movie before. The other thing is the national TV. They're 0-7 on national TV this year.
They're the new primetime Bears.
I mean, if you, I said this to Elliot Friedman walking into Wrigley Field last week. I said, this place is set up and ready to go. Like, this is fantastic. I wonder if the league could swap out teams that were playing, if they would be able to do that, would want to do that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just feel like they say flex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, so, you know, they're on national TV once again tonight. They've lost 5 straight on national TV.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that game against St. Louis, and I understand why the rest of the league is like, why does this team continue to get marquee events like the Winter Classic? Well, they got it because Connor Bedard
correct.
Is on their team, and they selected him first overall 2 years
yep.
ago.
And that's one of those things I'd love to know. How the process of awarding the Winter Classic actually goes. Do the Blackhawks have a say in that?
Oh, there's lobbying that goes on.
Okay.
Like
lobbied for it? Because I wish that game was in 2028.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Because that was embarrassing.
In 2009, they did lobby for it, but
okay.
they were much further down
totally.
The track.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of this equation. I think, you know, everybody looks at Taves and Kane and when they were drafted and then how quickly the
yeah.
cup came a couple of years later.
They were the last pieces. Of the
they
puzzle.
Were the last pieces.
Yeah.
And Bedard's the first.
Correct.
The legitimate first
yeah.
in the sense of first on the ice.
Yep.
Now we're seeing Nazar, who scored tonight, which is great to see. His
love
first
that.
Of the year.
Yep. Because I think he had gone, what, 1 point in 10 games or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had shown, again, it goes back to you. I'm looking at
it.
How this game, you know, it's not just your production on the score sheet. It's how many did you ring off a post?
Yep.
Are you generating slot shots?
Are you battling?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has shown more strength, especially, you know, in his own end. You know, he's not a big guy, but he doesn't necessarily shy away from, you know, competition either. So I've liked what I've seen from Nazar. I'm glad he got that goal tonight. But yeah, they are. You're right. Bedard was the first piece. And you're hoping, you know, they're going to clear out some roster spots, as we just said earlier. And you're hoping that, you know, they sign Renzel, they sign Green, they sign Oliver Moore. And we get to see more of these guys who probably won't be here next year, but they'll get a look at the end of this year at the NHL. And it's like, okay, like, let's get this process. Let's get it actually going in a real way where we can see no more of these mercenary veteran guys that have been around for forever on these one-year deals as we're biding our time. Like, let's get these guys get the guys in here who are hopefully going to be a big part of the team when they are good, if they ever get good.
So we got a lot to get to coming up on the hockey show. We're going to get into Connor Bedard, and you made some comments on a podcast that kind of exploded a little bit.
Blackhawks Twitter went insane
crazy.
That. Insane.
Jeremy Roenick had some comments.
Yeah. Ryan Whitney.
We'll get into Ryan Whitney's comments about the Winter Classic. But we're all frustrated with how this season kind of has unfolded and the lack of effort and energy and compete level at times. Although, again, as we speak right now,
yeah.
they are turning in a solid performance. Here's Nick Foligno after that loss to the Rangers prior to tonight's game and just how they hear the fans' frustrations.
I'm sure it's frustrating for the fan base because it's frustrating. And whatever they feel, it's a thousand times worse for us. We are the ones going out there. We know we want to put a great product on the ice, and it's not going to be this perfect, you know, climb. It's going to have these peaks and valleys, and right now we're obviously in a little bit of a valley, but I think the greatest picture is just you got to hold on to hope, and I think that's where we have to get back to, is like understanding that this isn't going to be just an easy shot back up to the Stanley Cup contenders that we want to be. It takes time, it takes work, it takes a lot of effort and discipline, and that's where we're lacking. We're not giving the discipline required, I think, consistently enough to get ourselves into a position where we're playing consistent hockey.
And the reality, Chief, is these rebuilds take a long time. Patrick Kane and Sidney Crosby, when they were selected one overall, their teams, their respective teams, won rather quickly into their mm-hmm. careers. Since Patty Kane, of the number one picks that have been selected, the McKinnons, the McDavids, the Matthews, the earliest that one of those guys has won a cup is like 8 or 9 years
yeah.
into their career. Mm-hmm. So, again, that...
If at all.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, you wonder if that dynasty that we saw between 2010 and 2015 kind of has jaded our view of just how these things happen. Like you said before... Kane and Taves were almost the final pieces to the puzzle, at least the final foundational pieces to the puzzle. Keith was here. Seabrook was here. Chalmerson was in the pipeline.
Bufflin, you know, they had a ton of guys. Brower. I feel like people Bowling. Forget about Troy Brower.
Troy Brower yeah. was fantastic.
Yeah. And Brian Bickle was drafted, I think, in 03 or 04. So I'm like, they had
those complementary pieces
correct.
Already in the system.
Well seasoned.
Ready to go.
Yes.
And now we're looking at draft prospects and we're saying, I mean, we're thinking like Caleb Williams, they're going to go from USC to the field the next year. Like Bedard is the exception to the rule.
Correct.
You know, even Nazar missed his almost full rookie season with the sports hernia.
Yeah, at Michigan. Yeah.
At Michigan and only got in. You know, basically last year was,
yeah.
and he only felt good from the World Juniors on. So we're even the second piece to the puzzle
mm-hmm.
is still kind of hasn't put a full season together
yeah.
in a few years,
which is normal. Like that is the normal. But my concern with these guys and these rebuild pieces, and maybe the whole plan overall, is when you look at the teams that win. Vegas, Florida, that St. Louis team in 19. When Tampa got their cups during the asterisk cups, I call them, because I don't really like Tampa, but the COVID cups. Like, they went out and they got Pat Maroon, but they had guys like Stamkos. I remember in 2011, they lost the Bruins in Stanley Cup, or Eastern Conference Final. He got his face broken, and he was right back out there, bloody, black eyes, bruised everything, almost kind of like the Duncan Keith when he got his teeth knocked out and missed a shift. Like, they had... They weren't quite tough enough, and they got bullied by Columbus. And they're like, you know what? We're going to add some guys who can get us over the hump. And they got bigger, stronger, meaner, faster, and they got over the hump. And then that is the formula. And you look at what the Hawks are building: speed for days, okay, and some skill for days. But it's like, geez, like
undersized,
undersized. How and like you see it,
except on the back end and
we'll
the guys
see.
That are
yeah.
coming.
We'll see. Like Vlasic's a big boy. I wish he was a little bit meaner, but he's awesome.
Levshinov.
We'll see what he. You know, I'm high on him.
I'm hearing good things about him.
I'm same. And you know, we'll see what Korchinski is. I watch Sam Renzel might win the Hobie Baker this year at Minnesota, but it's. You know, like
Nolan Allen doesn't look that bad.
He looks like he belongs.
He's third pair.
Yeah, and they have another high draft pick coming, but they don't have a lot of size. And that's like my concern with Bedard versus these other number one picks, who like Nathan McKinnon, who took him a while to win it. It actually took him a while. They had kind of had to blow up their team with Matt Duchene and some of they had a couple of high draft picks in a row, and then they got rid of those guys and kind of made it McKinnon's team. But McKinnon is an ox. Like, he's fast, and he can dip his shoulder. He gets through the hard areas. He fights through checks. He wins along the wall. You know, like, he does a lot of little things that help you win, and he has a lot in his locker, where it's like Bedard, he doesn't have that high end speed. He doesn't. He's not strong. He's not big. And it's you're talking about like he has. He's loose with the puck, which I don't like. I have mixed feelings about that because I don't want him to be boring. I want him to try stuff. I want him to be creative. And if you have a guy like that and a young guy and he loses the puck sometimes, like I'm okay with that. But it's doubly hard for him because they are playing him at center and he doesn't win any draws. So if he does get the puck and then he turns it over, well, his line's just chasing the puck the whole game.
Yes.
So it's like a compounding problem with him. So I'm wondering is he going to turn into a Nathan MacKinnon? Probably not. Like MacKinnon had the physical attributes and some of those other, like he's...
Well, he's a different player.
Different player, but like those are the players that win. Like Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov.
Those teams need to have players like him.
We
won three cups with Patty Kane, who I would compare Bedard is more Patty Kane-esque than he is, obviously, McDavid-esque or MacKinnon-esque.
What if he's more Johnny Gaudreau-esque?
Or Kucherov-esque. First of all...
He's not Kucherov, though, either. Kucherov's mean as anything.
Yeah. First of all, do you know how many points Nathan MacKinnon had in his second year in the league?
I'm sure it was not great.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
38 points in 64 games.
Correct. And that wasn't that like the all-time worst team?
It was.
Yeah. And Jared Bednar was the coach for that team.
Right. Almost got fired.
And was Duchesne on that team too? Because they had like a kind of rebuild going built around Matt Duchesne. And they're like, this guy's not the guy. And now Duchesne has been, he's a top six player no matter where he goes, but he's a journeyman guy for a reason. And I'm not saying that that's what Bedard is, so don't get it twisted. I feel like people are twisting my words a lot on the internet lately. So I don't think that that's the case. But like Patty Kane, while yes, he's a perimeter player, he still found his way to get to soft areas and score a ton of goals and do all that stuff. And maybe Bedard will develop that too. But that team, like we said, they had Brouwer. They had Byfuglien. Taves is huge and strong.
Patrick Sharp.
Sharp is like an underrated, nasty guy.
Absolutely.
Competes like anything. And like you're not bullying Patrick.
And who does Bedard have? He's had nothing.
But Bedard's got to have it himself, too.
He's got Tyler Bertuzzi, who showed up about a month ago.
He certainly had a slow start, for sure.
He's known for slow starts, and he followed suit. Look, we got a lot to unpack here on Patty Kane. Let's take Tom first, and then let's get back to it, because, the Blackhawks Twitterverse went
bananas.
When you were in your Chelios sauna.
Yeah, I had to address it.
I know.
Yeah.
That's going to be your new place.
Yeah.
Like Sylvie has a swing after a Bears loss. Your sauna guy. Let's go to Tom in New Jersey. Tom, welcome to the Hockey Show.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Missed you for the last couple of weeks. This program is such a breath of fresh air because all day long it's about the Bears, coaching search, offensive line, et cetera, et cetera. Let me get to my point. And I hope you guys could be expanded to 2 or 3 hours per week. You deserve it.
That's very nice. Thank you, Tom.
It's no secret the Hawks give up a lot of goals. Their defense is terrible. Not all on defense, but I want to specifically get to Seth Jones. And when Seth Jones was a free agent years back, Dougie Hamilton was available at the same time. The Hawks decided to sign Seth Jones to a huge contract. He's contributed little or nothing. He was supposed to be the face of the franchise when the other guys left, got traded. And is he the equivalent of Jason Hayward with the Cubs that we're going to be stuck with that contract forever and nobody will ever take it?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think there's going to be a rain delay for about 13 minutes that Seth Jones comes in and rallies the troops and goes out there and wins in spite of Joe Maddon. But I will say that was a Stan Bowman decision. That's back when the Hawks were oscillating between rebuild, retool on the fly, grab a veteran here, we're building for the future there. The script changed seemingly every year to 2 years, and they overpaid for him. The reason why Seth Jones got paid is because he skated next to Werenski, who is a bona fide player. He's a one.
Yeah.
And, Seth has been underwhelming, to say the least. Underwhelming. And the contract, I don't understand why he's on the first power play. Like you want to send a message to a team, especially when you didn't draft him.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with you saying, look, At the end of the day, when you were out of the lineup, Alex Vlasic was in there. He's never played power play in his life.
Yeah. Even in college, even in
Mission, wherever.
Yeah.
And he was getting better, and they were winning.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I get it. The Seth Jones 9.5, all you can – I don't see him being here when and if the Hawks ever get back to a championship level. I think you have to move on from him. And to do that, you're going to have to eat a large amount of that contract.
Yeah, we'll see about that, because I do think if the cap goes up like they're saying, he is still a guy, right shot defenseman, who can play 25 minutes a night. He's not great. He is underwhelming. Going back to that trade, I was on board with that trade at the time, because that to me was like, we have Taves and Kane for 2 more years. Our defense is horrible. They hadn't drafted a defenseman who made the NHL since Nick Jalmerson. They needed something. The Connor Murphy trade for Jalmerson, that didn't really, like, they just messed everything up for about, I don't know, a 10-year period. And so they were left in a position where they didn't know what to do. It's like, can we get a guy who can play top 4 minutes, and would that be the difference between being in the lottery and being in the wild card? And then Jeremy Colleton, and the whole thing just blew up in their face. So it didn't work, but I was fine with it at the time, because I wanted some relevant hockey for the last 2 years of those two guys. It just didn't work out. Now they're stuck. So now the thing that he struggles with is transition defense, which I think Luke Richardson had a system that protected Seth Jones.
I agree with
and
that.
He was playing a lot better under Luke Richardson than this current iteration, because when he's in transition, I don't know why not, because he's a good athlete, but like that, his ability to like gap up and skate backwards and time things and deny entries into the zone is about as bad as it gets in the league. When I was at the Canadiens game, I was sitting behind the goal, so where the Canadiens are shooting twice, so I got a good look at it for 2 periods, and it's just like, man, like he just looks kind of lost in transition. And a guy who's, what is he, 30? Like, he should not be that.
30.
Yeah, he shouldn't. That's something that should have been fixed or addressed or whatever, but his lateral movement, skating backwards, trying to time up and deny entries is abysmal. So, yeah,
he doesn't have a shot. He's not a great passer.
Yeah.
I talked to him at the beginning of this year, and, you know, he admitted, he's like, look, I have not played well the last 2 years. Now, I also think when you're on a horse blank team, as far as talent wise, 2 years ago that was tanking for Bedard.
Yeah,
it's not easy to be.
That's what I mean. I feel like the culture's rotten. You know, like that's, you want to, and I really like Nick Foligno. That quote, the clip that you played, he said all the right things.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, but it's like,
sounds hollow.
I believe he's sincere.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But when you watch this team, you're right.
Right, because it's like,
we've heard that. We've all heard that soundbite.
Yeah.
15 times this year.
Right, but it is. It's one of those things where it's like, if you're going to make an example, like that was the old Joel thing, right? Quenneville, he would bench basically anybody. Okay.
Right.
And it would be, and that was his thing. He's like, the only thing I can do is take away ice time. That's the only thing, the only punishment that these guys care about. I don't have to hoot and holler and tear paint off the walls in the locker rooms. Like, that doesn't matter. If you're not playing up to our standards and the way that we want you to play, you're sitting. And I don't really see guys get made example of here. And it's not, like, I don't know who you would bench that it would resonate. You know, like, they put Lucas Reichel in the press box. Who cares?
Well, I mean, Luke did it to Taylor Hall and got crushed
fired.
For it.
He got fired.
I mean, he trying to make a statement, former number one overall pick. I mean, it's odd. Like, tonight, Pat Maroon is sitting, and they're probably looking for speed when they're playing a speedy team in Colorado. I get that. But if you were going by merit and how they play,
he doesn't deserve to sit. Right.
But, like, you can start making excuses for a lot of these guys. You know, Kershaw's been a healthy scratch. Like, you know,
his contract's up. He's probably walking.
He was a 50-point guy last year.
He had a lot more opportunity, and he was playing with Bedard.
Well, look, everybody's had an opportunity with 98 this year.
I guess.
Year.
Yeah,
pretty
that's what
much.
I mean.
Like, I mean, it's like a deli line.
And we keep,
take your number.
We keep saying, like, oh, who's the perfect line mate for Bedard? What's Bedard's position? Who should play with who? And it honestly, it just doesn't matter. Like, none of the pieces fit. Doesn't seem like anybody's bought in. Nobody really.
Well, Bertuzzi looks like, at least
he's
he
been
goes
better
to
the last
paint.
Couple of weeks. Yeah,
I mean, Chief, he's putting up some numbers here, yeah. And Bedard has assisted on all of his goals over yeah. the last seven,
mm-hmm.
and primary assists on most of them.
Yeah,
but other than that, I can't now tonight on the Mikheyev goal, the first goal of the game for the Blackhawks. Bedard had a takeaway after he dumped the puck in. Now, you were en route here, so I don't think
you've been
able to see it. But like,
heard on the radio.
It was, he basically would get credit with a takeaway, and then he sets up Mikheyev, and Mikheyev scores. That's where I think he can develop his game. And that's where I think up until last year when he entered the National Hockey League, he never had to do that.
Right.
He always had the puck.
Mm-hmm.
He never lost the puck. He could always make the dangerous pass because
it wasn't
players
gonna bite
you. Good enough.
Right.
And the game wasn't fast as it is now.
You kind of cheated a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't do that at this level.
I would have thought.
His teams in junior never won either, though.
No, they didn't.
You're right.
I thought with his hockey IQ, he would have adapted quicker.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that is, you know, coaching, if it's on him to a degree, if it's a combination of both.
It's probably that one.
So, okay, you were on the Stretch podcast,
mm-hmm.
and you made some comments. Kind of explain what you said for those that didn't hear it.
Yeah.
And
so I said in that show, it's with Big Cat and Eddie and Dave, who are my co-hosts, and they're not hockey guys. So we kind of do like a
Big Cat has the season tickets, but you're
correct.
Right.
Yeah,
he's the guy that shows up when the place is on fire, ready to go, and they're like, primed to win.
Sharpie
cups.
Always used to give him a hard time because Dan would be like, you know, when their playoffs roll around, Dan didn't call him for tickets until April. You know, so that was but he's a huge sports fan, and so he wants to know, and it's like, hey, like, yeah, my comment was basically, if Bedard is not this unworldly 100-point, 110-point guy then and scoring, then he doesn't really help you win in other ways. He's not great defensively. And I look at a guy like Celebrini, who seems like beloved by his teammates, and they call him Fellabrini because he's just one of the fellas. And he's just like an affable, like good guy who competes hard. He's a better skater. He's already better defensively. He's 18. He's putting up comparable points to Bedard. And it's like, did they win the lottery in the wrong year kind of thing? Would you build a more playoff-ready team around a guy who does project, no questions asked, as a number one center? Or is it this kind of wishy-washy kind of perimeter guy who might – I think Bedard's an all-star. But like we talked about at the top, what type of teams win? It's guys that have, so those Bruins teams that were great forever with Bergeron and Krejci and the guys who play the 200-foot game, who even if they're not scoring, they're helping you win. And I haven't seen to date, I know he had the takeaway that led to the goal tonight, that's not a consistent part of his game. Maybe it'll develop. I've seen moments this year in his own end, Bedard playing through the middle.
He's
where
better defensively
than he was last year.
Still has plenty of room to grow.
Yeah.
I look back to those two games in Florida last year where he had takeaways and he turned them into goals right away. They were like unbelievable plays. I think he has more of that in him.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
He better.
Yeah.
He better.
Yeah.
Because you're not, this team, if he doesn't become that true number one center who is around 100 points per game, who if it's a face-off in your own zone late in the game and you're on icing, you're not like, oh, this is an automatic L on the face-off dot. Like, if he doesn't become that, I don't know how they get to be an elite team. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a path there. Like, it is all about, like, he needs help, but it is all about Bedard. Like, if he's billed as, you know, it's Crosby, McDavid, Bedard as the three most hyped guys of my lifetime. And you can say, well, oh, he's, you know, and people say, well, Jack Hughes started slow and McKinnon started slow. And it's like, well, those, and Patrick Kane, you know, he was the number one pick. None of those guys, you know, like they had like the minerals from the get go, and it was only a matter of time. I don't know what Bedard's position is after a full season and a half. I don't know what his ceiling is, and it's like, is he gonna be, you know, the captain, I have a hard time envisioning him be the captain with his personality type. And is he going to be a guy who can drag the best out of his teammates? And there's different types of leadership where Joe Sakic and Steve Yzerman, they barely ever said anything, but no one ever questioned their leadership, and like the guys all like rallied around them and loved them. So it's like there's a lot of I think there's still a lot of questions to be answered with Bedard, and he is a young kid, and I hope that he becomes this. But Celebrini seems like a more natural first line center, build your team around him kind of guy, where Bedard is, you know, and you said maybe he is Kane. Kane, as I love him, everyone knows he's one of my all time favorites.
If not the. Isn't he?
My whole life.
No, like, Blackhawks.
Of the Blackhawks? Yeah. Like,
okay,
yeah.
So let's.
And yeah, so he's my all time favorite.
Right.
And
his reputation out of the gates.
Yeah, he's a party animal.
Okay.
He's a crazy person. Okay. But he was, that team had a different vibe around him. And maybe it is, like I've said this before, like they have
also had Hall of Famers around.
Hall of Famers and
Bosa,
and
Duncan Keith.
And they were all young, and they're all kind of contemporaries with each other. They're all kind of going through the same thing at the same time, where it's like you have Bedard, and then you have a bunch of guys who are 30 and up.
That's okay. Let's get into the personality of Connor, because Jeremy Roenick had some comments after the Winter Classic, and he took a shot at Connor Bedard. I want to get into that, let you hear that from JR. The Spit and Chicklets guys had themselves a ball here in Chicago.
Yeah, they did.
The week of the Winter Classic.
That was a fun week with the boys.
All right,
yeah.
So I want to hear the best of that. We're going to get Witt's take on what he saw at the practice before the Winter Classic. So a lot to get to. The Hockey Show is brought to you by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. And we're presented by Four Winds Casino. Four Winds Casino is giving away a $200 gift card. Simply be caller number 10 right now. He must be 21 or older and must live in Illinois, Indiana, or Michigan. Caller 10 wins a $200 gift card to Four Winds Casino. It's the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle coming your way every Wednesday night from 8 to 9. We'll be back after this.
The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I'm Pat Boyle. Blackhawks have a 2-1 lead about 6 minutes into the third period over Colorado. Go figure. Congratulations to Joe in New Lenox. He is the winner of the Four Winds gift card for $200. By the way, we're going to be heading out to Four Winds Casino.
I can't wait.
It's going to be fun.
I love the Four Winds.
We're going to press the flesh, hang out with the Hawks fans. We'll get that date to you guys as soon as we know
it. Do a couple table games? We'll blackjack there?
You got it. All right, let's talk about the week of the Winter Classic. And, you know, Spit and Chicklets was in town. So did you go to the event they had on the Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how was that?
It was awesome. So it was up at the Riviera. And, you know, I don't really get starstruck anymore. But when Wayne Gretzky is right there and it's like that's – he has like this aura. I mean, Trump was trying to get him to be the next prime minister. Like he is like the most famous, popular person in an entire country. And he was incredible. He's very gracious, good guy. Roenick, Chelios – Glenn
There's
Healy.
No better ambassador who is a superstar than, like, you know, they always said, like, Arnold Palmer is to golf or Tiger is to golf. I don't think you can find somebody who genuinely wants to help promote the game that made him the most famous player ever more than Wayne Gretzky.
The other thing about that I love about Gretzky and I really admire, and I don't know how he does it, is that he is able to talk about all of these accomplishments that he's had from the time he was 6 years old, the cups, the records, all this, and talk about them matter-of-factly without coming off with like he's bragging and also not seeming like he's being like false modesty. Like he has this graciousness about him where he's just honest and he just talks about it and he's transparent and he gives credit to his teammates where it's needed. But he doesn't shy away from the fact that he was just so awesome, like the great one. And he walks this line that I don't think I've seen anyone else execute the way that he does, where he's able to be like, I'm the greatest, but without sounding like, you know, like the way Muhammad Ali did, where it's like brash and bold. Like, he's just like, I'm the greatest. And, you know, and he's so diplomatic about it. I love Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah. It was when I was the iSide reporter in Philadelphia. They played the Rangers one of his last weeks. Now, he, because he's so damn classy, mm-hmm. everybody else announces that it's their final year. And then it's a dog and pony show. Every NHL city you go to will present you with a jet ski or, you know, whatever. And he didn't do that. And so the New York Ranger PR person's like, look, you could do an in-game interview with Gretzky. You just can't ask him about retirement. And so I mean, you talk about nervous.
Oh, can't imagine.
I was like 4 years into my career, and I started it off. I'm with the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and I'm like, in my head later, I'm like, that's not really how you start You don't call. I mean, I guess you do. I don't know.
I think that's fine.
But
His Majesty.
I mean, you talk about like I can see the interview. And I'm like, how freaking cool was that? Like one of the last weeks of his NHL career, I got a chance to interview him. But I digress. I want to get into what Jeremy Roenick had to say about Bedard.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy Roenick and Dennis Savard and Chris Chelios were the ceremonial puck droppers for the Winter Classic. Mm-hmm. So they go out there and JR, you know, has been on a massive tour since his Hall of Fame induction in November. It was great to have his night back at the United Center a few weeks ago in December. And, you know, everything, you know, he was, you know, apologizing to people. His speech was unbelievable. He was mending fences with former teammates and you name it. And then he goes on his podcast, Snipes and Stripes. And this is what he had to say about Connor Bedard and their interaction or lack thereof at the Winter Classic.
All the players came up to meet Chelly and Savvy and congratulated us, saying hi, giving us the respect, except for one. There needs to be respect in the game, and there needs to be, I think, respect for the history of the game.
100%.
But there's one player that didn't come up to me, Chelly or Savvy, and that was the superstar of the Chicago Blackhawks, and that's Connor Bedard. Regardless if we played 20 years ago or they're playing now, we're all still part of that family. And if we don't have that respect to go up and fist bump, to say, hey, congratulations, what's going on? How can you do it with your own teammates, right? So I'm not ripping on him in terms of, you know, his personality or anything like that. This kid needs to learn as a 19-year-old. This all is his learning curve. His learning curve has to be, if he's going to be a captain of this team, there's a lot of things that he has to think about in terms of being that leader and being that captain. And unfortunately, he dropped the ball.
All right. That's JR on his Snipes and Stripes podcast on his perceived snub from Connor Bedard at the Winter Classic. I'll open the floor to you, Chief, and then I will give you my take.
I think, first of all, I don't know why Bedard wouldn't just go up and give him a dab. If you see the whole team doing it and you don't do it, I feel like that's kind of odd.
I just know the story as JR told it there. Do you know, is he talking about on the ice, in the locker room?
I'm not sure.
That to me is, I would like to
a little more context.
Know context to the situation.
I don't know that it matters. If you see 19 other guys doing it and you're the only one that doesn't, and there is...
But did 19 other guys do it?
He just said every other guy did
it. Every other guy?
Yeah. Okay. So if it's in the locker room on the ice or whatever, if all the other guys are doing it, and you can go back to the Chelios night last year where it was Chelios' night, all the Red Wings stayed on the bench to watch the whole ceremony. Like, they don't know Chelly. They're on the opposing team. Like, they don't have to watch that. They do it out of respect. And so...
But he's a former Red Wing, and Dylan Larkin probably said, boys, you know.
Well, someone should say, hey, like, and is it the biggest deal in the world? No. I actually think, I don't think Roenick sounds or comes off well in this clip.
It feels very petty to me.
It feels, but it's, I do think small details matter. And you can dismiss it. And it is like the old Savvy. Remember when he was the coach and was like, hey, we got to commit to the Indian.
Right.
And this is like a fraternity and this is an original six and this is the history. And I guarantee you, Roenick had a moment with Bobby Hull or Makita and, or, you know, the old guy, you know, Hall before that. And I'm sure he did, you know, and he did dap him up. Okay. And, or say hello and pay his respects. And I think that is. You just respect your elders. I think that, like, it's, that's like a human motif across all walks of life, is that you pay respects to people who did it before. So Bedard being the only one, I find odd. Because yeah. You could be like, oh, hey.
I wonder if that's a little hyperbole, but.
Well maybe. I you know, but that would be odd. I would find that odd.
All right. Keep going.
Yeah, so I do think Roenick comes off as petty too. Like, I don't know if he has to go public with it, and but it's, you know, if he's saying like you're going to be kind of the things I was saying before. If you're going to be the captain, like, I understand being an introvert and being a homebody. Like, I'm kind of those things, and but you have to force yourself out of your comfort zone to go and do the right thing, even if it's uncomfortable. And that, to me, is it the biggest deal in the world? Is it some huge red flag that he didn't do it? I don't think so. But it would have been nice if he did. And I think that that's kind of the line. And I also think it would have been nice if Roenick just kept that to himself, too.
Or go up to Nick Foligno or a member of the Blackhawks staff and say, hey, I noticed that Connor didn't come over and dab me up.
Or Chelly or Savvy.
Did I do something? Is there something going on here that I should know about? And let the captain do what captains do.
Maybe he did. You know, like that, like we, like that's,
well,
the thing.
You know what? I'll ask Nick.
Yeah, you should. You should.
I'll bring what he has to say.
I would like to know.
All right. So I've been around Bedard more than
anybody.
Those guys.
Anybody in the media. Yeah.
He's obviously very focused on hockey. I've seen him interact with older players. I've seen him interact with coaches, kids. I saw him in the Dog and Pony Show that he was on to start his NHL career last year. Where he went from Pittsburgh to Boston to Montreal to Toronto. Yeah. And every night was the opener there. And he was mobbed.
It was insane.
And he did every interview.
Yeah.
I do know that the Blackhawks have talked to him about, you can say no.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he's 19 years old.
Totally. Totally.
And I have a 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I have a almost 18-year-old.
Okay.
And if I pull back on JR's comments about respecting your elders, there's a lot there that I totally agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if all 19-year-olds comport themselves the way JR did in the 80s, you did in the 90s, mm-hmm. I did back in, you know, I'm JR's age roughly. And I have issues with my 20-year-old and my 19-year-old or 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to learn. This generation is much different than the generation of Patrick Kane and Johnny Taves grew up in. It's completely different. Talk to coaches.
Yeah.
They have to coach differently. What they say to a player like Nick Foligno is much different than the conversation they have with Connor Bedard.
Yeah, and I guess I don't like that either.
Well,
you know,
then
where,
you
and
must
it's like,
not love. Like, I mean,
but
that's
then you
the
watch
generation.
Paul Maurice, and he is, you know, when they're winning the cup and they're mic'd up on that Amazon, I think it was Amazon, one of these behind the scenes shows, and he's just giving it to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're captain, last guy on the bench, old, young, he treats everybody the same. And I think that could be a thing too. Where it's like, if you have different rules for different groups of players, that's not good. Like, you want guys all pulling from the same rope and acting the same way. And
when do you think you do your most growing up in life?
I would probably your 20s.
Yes.
Yeah.
21 to 29.
Yeah.
It's the first time your life isn't necessarily scripted.
Yeah.
If you go to college, it's finally coming to an end. If you didn't go to college and you go to work.
You're learning about yourself a little bit.
And you need to make some decisions
by yourself. And you got to have
some
failures.
Some mistakes.
Some failures.
Certainly do. He's 19.
Totally. Totally.
So, like,
if
can we cut this kid some slack?
And I Absolutely. And I am worried about the project as a whole more than I am worried about him. I think he's a nice boy who loves hockey and tries hard, and it's just not, I don't know, it's miserable here right now. And that's not all his fault, obviously, but I guess I would want to know the exact context, because if you're on the ice or in the locker room and you see every other guy in there going up to these people who have their numbers in many cases in the rafters, and you don't care, and you don't, you know, like, aren't you curious what they're like? Like that's like,
he's a hockey nerd.
So that's all the more reason.
So now Kyle Davidson on 32 Thoughts was asked the question, does he ask you, Kyle, about the plans going forward, who you're going to sign in free agency, who you're going to go after? Kyle's answer was he talks more about the prospects in the system, guys he's met already, guys that he went to prospect camp with, that he was at the draft with. Mm-hmm. Like, he's doing things. I just think we're expecting him to be, first of all, from the hockey standpoint.
I feel like I'm doing old man yells at cloud a little bit.
I guess to me, JR, who was thrust into this league at a young age, I would have thought he would have taken that lack of interaction and handled it behind the scenes. You know, we've seen Roenick since he got the call.
Yeah, Roenick's not without his transgressions.
Well, no.
Right.
Since he got the call to the Hall, he's made amends with many people and with the Blackhawks organization. Mm-hmm. The team had that night honoring him. That took some healing for that to come together. And things, he was on our pregame show, and things were trending for JR to be a bigger part of the Blackhawks going forward. Whether that's in a role that, like, Chelly is in as an ambassador, or whether it's being a part of the broadcast or the pre or the post, that remains to be seen. But it looked like things were trending there. And then this happens. I think that's really going to be a major hit in his relationship of mending fences with the franchise.
I sincerely hope that it's not, because if that interaction happened the way that he described it, I don't think you should get in trouble for telling the truth. You're allowed to disagree with people, but if that happened and you're not okay with it and you want to say it, maybe you shouldn't have said it publicly or should have gone to Foligno or whatever.
That's a big difference, saying it publicly and not.
Sometimes a little bit of public humiliation or humiliation amongst your team.
God, does he really deserve that?
Does he? If he did it, like, maybe that's the problem with the generation. No, we need more shame in society. People should feel more shame. And I would love to have Bedard be asked about that and be like, hey, what's JR talking about here? And if he's like, you know what? I was in my own head. I was focused on the game. If I could do it over again, I would probably just go up and say hello and introduce myself, say, hello, I'm Connor Bedard, and move on with it. Hey, you're a great player. Nice to meet you. Whatever. And it's done. It's not that big of a thing, but I do think the way to correct bad behavior in some cases is to, you get embarrassed. Like we said, like I've had public failures. I get things wrong all the time. I probably said 17 things today that will come out to be wrong. And when that comes out to be wrong, I will raise my hand and say, hey, you know what? I had some information. I saw some things. I got things wrong and I apologize.
All right. Hey, Kevin Zipak, do I need to take a break?
This is it. This is the end of the line.
This is the end of the show.
Yes, this is the end of the program.
All right.
But that was a great conversation, so it was worth it.
All right, okay. So can I take a couple calls here before we exit stage left?
You can take one call. I'll give you one call.
All right. I'll let you make Mark or Pat. Who do you want to go with there, Chief?
Well, let's go with the guy Mark, who's giving you a compliment in the comments.
Let's go to Mark in Lincoln Park.
Hey, what's going on, boys? How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Great call. Hey, listen, yeah, it's a dual-fold thing with JR. It really is, because I think he's trying to say, hey, Connor, you got to do this to be the captain. But, Barstool Chief, you were at the event at the Riviera, so was I. Mm-hmm. He queried Biz, how do you get away with this and I get fired for this? Well, Biz has pulled himself off as the village idiot, and he's hilarious. JR's got that edge about him, and he does burn bridges.
Yeah.
He should not have put that on the podcast. But, Pat, I agree with you. I got an 18- and 16-year-old. They just don't interface like our generation did. They didn't grow up in the 60s, 70s, 80s. JR did. And, Barstool, you heard JR say it. He does really bad public things, but he does great things.
Yeah.
That's the irony of him, you know? And I don't know, Pat, I don't know the context of why 19 guys bump those guys, and Connor didn't. I think he was probably focused on the game. I don't know. Yeah, was it the locker room? Was it the ice? I don't know. I mean, I was at both events.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was there as well, and I didn't see this public snubbing.
Yeah.
And if it was an orchestrated a group going over, I can't imagine he'd be
That's why I want to know the context.
Well, that's an important part of this equation. Totally. And by the
way, someone should ask Connor about it.
Mark, yes, Connor said that this was the biggest moment of his hockey life, not World Juniors, not the draft, that Winter Classic, because the reason the Winter Classic was in Chicago is because of him. So he was preparing for his biggest hockey moment. I'm sorry if he didn't feel the need to go dab up JR 5 minutes before his biggest game.
That's like why I need to. Somebody ask him what happened.
All right, we'll get
can I add one more thing? Guys, can I add one more thing?
Sure.
Thank you, because I've been on my rant on Seth Jones for the last 2 years. So thank you for at least coming to your senses and railing on him tonight. Thank you.
Mark, thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it. Don't be the last time to call. We want to thank our producer, Kevin Zipak, and Sean Graney. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Four Winds Casino, and also sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza. All right, so the Hawks are 4 minutes away from
it'd be great.
Another win over a team
and
that
Connor
is
got one.
High up in the standings.
Nice little snipe by Connor there.
He must have
he's got his earbuds in.
His ears are burning because of the comments that are being made.
Yeah.
Now look.
I like him. I want him to do all the right things. That's all it is. I want him to be great. That's it. I'm sure JR does too.
Well, you know what? He's pretty damn great with not much around him. He's got an 8-game point streak.
Yep. Nine now.
Nine.
Great score. Score tonight. You rolled it. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I counted that earlier. And where is he at as far as points on the year?
He's probably up there.
He has now on the campaign 25 assists and 10 goals. So he's got 35 points, but they haven't factored in.
No.
He's got two more. So he's got 37 points, and this is game 41.
Yep.
On a team that's near the very bottom in scoring.
Totally. He is also on the team. So, I know you don't play alone, but it's like he's the guy who's supposed to be generating the offense. So if the offense is struggling, he's out there a third of the game. So that cuts both ways. But I like Connor. I think he's going to be an all-star. I want the best for him. I'm glad he's on the team. Don't get that twisted. I think that he needs to round out his game and round out some maybe other aspects of his personality if he's going to be the C and lift that cup.
And I think that just like he needs to round out his game, he needs to round out growing up. He's 19 years of age, and I think somehow because he's been on the social media landscape for since he was 14. We think he's older than he really is. He should have played in the World Juniors again this year. I mean,
I know, but look at Taves is already wearing the C at this point, and he did fine.
He wasn't
his second year in the league, so I guess he was 19, turning 20.
Yeah,
yeah, so about the same. So I mean,
I'll say he's more the Patty Kane player. And,
they better find the guys to do the other things then. Because if that's all he is, you're not.
Oh, well, there's no question.
Right.
No question. So, just that's what Stan's trying to do in Edmonton. And that's what Berube and company are trying to do in Toronto.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you have three stars on the team doesn't mean you're going to win the cup.
And but if he is Patty Kane, then he's not a center. So just move him off of it. That's part of the
equation. Decision they need to make. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. By the way, Patty Kane in town, or no, Blackhawks at Detroit
Sunday?
On Friday.
Friday.
And then Connor
he's hot too.
Okay, why don't you make plans to go to Saturday night's game? Edmonton is in town. Connor McDavid, and I hear that McDavid's parents and Bedard's parents are going to be watching the game together.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that a nice little story?
Yeah, that's nice. I like
that. A little hockey night in Canada angle.
That would be good.
All right, that's going to do it for the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. For Barstool Chief, I'm Pat Boyle. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next Wednesday.